How a passion grows into a business. This is the Early Days Podcast. Hi everybody, welcome to the Early Days Podcast, the show about the hustle, the excitement, the doubts, the success, the failures, the ups and downs of building a business from scratch. My name is Marin, and with my co-founder Julian, we interview fellow entrepreneurs about their experience of starting businesses. As we are in the middle of our own journey of building an apparel company and documenting our early days, we wanted to go behind the scenes with other entrepreneurs and find out what their early days, weeks, months and years were like. On today's episode, we have Dale Spoonmore from Seed to Spoon, a platform that shows you how you can grow your own organic produce economically, efficiently and sustainably. Together with his family, Dale is the creator of the From Seed to Spoon mobile app, which is one of the top-rated apps in its own category. In our conversation with Dale, we cover how he created a business out of a passion for gardening, the tools and the systems for mental health that he uses to stay sane and fight depression, transitioning from the idea stage to doing and building a business, and how Dale taught himself how to build a successful mobile application that's on the top in its own category. If you want to learn more, head over to seed2spoon.net to learn more about Dale, the business he's growing, and to receive an abundance of great gardening tips. Search for the free app on the iOS and Google Play stores as well. Now, without further ado, enjoy our conversation with Dale Spoonmore.
My name is Dale Spoonmore. I'm from Oklahoma, and I started gardening in 2015 as an effort to help manage anxiety and depression. So not necessarily just gardening, but trying to grow food, because this book that I found called The Depression Cure talked about how I could help manage anxiety and depression through drinking a lot of water and eating a lot of foods that were high in magnesium and calcium, like spinach and kale and broccoli, and getting a lot of sunlight and doing things like that. So all of those ideas led to a garden. That's basically where we started. And I've worked in software development since I've been working with software my entire life. You know, even as a kid, I was building websites and trying to figure out how computer games work and how you can make them work different. And so my mind just kind of naturally sees things in the way of software. So over the course of building our garden, I was carrying around all these books, and I'm slightly autistic and I get really obsessed about things. When I get obsessed about things, I buy, you know, a lot of books, and I study them and I try and memorize them, and that's all I do. I don't really sleep sometimes. I'm so excited about it. That's just kind of, you know, that's, I've always been that way. And so that's what I started doing with gardening. And I started just memorizing all these books and taking classes and meeting people that had been gardening for their whole lives and just trying to learn everything I could. And eventually, you know, I wanted to make a mobile app that would make it easier for other people, because that process took a lot of time and effort. And I felt like a way that our family could help make an impact on the world and to help make the world a better place was through creating a mobile app that made it easier for other people to do what we did. So that's basically how From Seed to Spoon started and where its origins came from. It's evolved a lot from the beginning. I mean, we started From Seed to Spoon on the day of the last United States election. And I'm not getting into politics at all, don't worry. I'm just going to say that I didn't want to vote for any of them, and I was very depressed on that day, and I was going to feel depressed no matter who won. And I was waiting in line to vote, and I felt like I was asked, you know, if I'm so worried about what's going on in the world, what am I doing to fix it? And I felt like my answer to that was nothing. And that was the day that we started From Seed to Spoon, and we started our website, where we just started telling people how we grew food. And because by then we had already converted our entire backyard into a food farm. And I've written a lot about this on our website. You can go check out like blog posts and a lot of videos that show, you know, all this kind of stuff. So if you're interested in, you know, I have all that, but, you know, so we had already done that. And I felt like it was a way that, you know, that I could make a difference in the world, because this was something that I had spent all of this energy learning all of this stuff, and I wanted it to go to more benefit than just me and my family. It felt like, I don't know, like before this, a lot of my energy went to learning things like trying to master the Madden football game. You know, I was in a league where I would go watch the games of the previous person I was going to be playing and study their play calling and trying to figure out what they're going to do and everything. And I had all this energy going to things like that. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but with where I am in my life and with having four children and really, really caring about the world that they're going to grow up in, it, you know, all of that led to, you know, wanting to do something about it. And From Seed to Spoon was that thing that I could do about it instead of worrying about things and staying up late at night, trying to stay up on the news and everything. I just devoted all of that time into From Seed to Spoon. So we started with a website and a blog and a YouTube channel where I just started showing how we grew food. And up until then, I had only worked in the product management and testing areas of software development. I'd done some coding, some front end stuff, you know, growing up building websites and stuff, but I hadn't done what it would take to build a mobile app. So I was in the process of trying to recruit every developer that I knew to help me build this app that I had, you know, been dreaming up. Literally, I'd already sketched out how it would look. I had written user stories. I'd done everything about, you know, I had this thing ready to go. And it's hard to find people that want to work for free. And I totally get that. And I had a hard time finding people that were wanting to help me build this. And eventually I was out to lunch with my team. At the time I was building automated tests for our team. I work for Surgical Care Affiliates. It's a company here in the United States that owns about 300 surgery centers. And the software that we make helps those surgery centers be more efficient. So I was out to lunch with this team and I was telling them the problem of, you know, I can't find a developer. And this guy that is on the team with me that has been a mentor to me for almost my whole life now, you know, for 15 years, I've worked around him. And he basically just said, Dell, I believe that you can do this and we'll help you. And that was July of last year. And I started learning how to build an Angular app, and I used Ionic. I don't know how technical I should get on things, but I'll try not, you know, too in the weeds on things. But I started learning how to build a mobile app, and that was in July. And I spent every waking moment that I could from then until it was released. And we released it in December 8th is when we released the first version to beta, and in January is when we released what I considered version 1. And when we released, we had no idea what to expect. It was just one of these things where we put it out to the world and just kind of see what would happen. And we started doing some local promotion here in Oklahoma. There's some home and garden shows and things like that that we can go to and promote. And we did a lot of that. And I started speaking at local gardening groups and just going on the gardening tour. Just every weekend I was doing something related to gardening and just helping promote it. And through that and through our wonderful users that have done a great job of promoting the app for us and helping us out, and through our friends and family that have done that, and just through the universe, you know, just rewarding us, I guess. I don't know. It took off. And in about, I don't know, it was about 6 months, it became the number one app in the App Store if you search for growing food and if you search for vegetable gardening and gardening. And now all of those terms, it's in the top five for pretty much all of them. And all of that has led to a growth now that has us adding at our high point, it was about 4,000 users a week. I'm sorry, a month. Now it's down to about, I'm sorry, I get my numbers crossed up because of how fast it's growing. But the point is, it was growing really, really fast. And then suddenly this became something where up until then, we had no interest in making a business out of this. And we still don't want to get too off track and trying to make too much of a business out of this, because the root reason why we started this was because we wanted to make the world a better place. I mean, I feel those terms are, those words are maybe a little too often overused, but I mean, that's really what we wanted. We wanted to give back, and that's why the version that we have out now is free and will remain free. We're working on some new developments and some pro features and some other ways to build a business out of this. But the business is not going to rely on charging people to learn how to grow food. The business is going to rely on helping them, you know when to water based on how much it's rained where they are, and doing stuff like that, and letting them take a picture of a pest and identify it. That's the kind of the thing that we'll charge for. And then we're going to have a store where you can purchase things related to growing food. And that's a way that we'll make money. But we're not going to make money off of teaching people how to grow food, because I didn't invent any of these concepts of how to grow food. None of the information in the app was invented by me. This is all just stuff I've accumulated from a lot of different places, and I did not feel right charging for any of that. And that's why it was free. I've been talking for a long time. I want to check in to make sure we're still on the phone and everything. Yes. Are we still good? Okay.
Yeah. I have a question for you. You mentioned you were still working full time with your team, or maybe not full time, but you were still working in software development while having the idea for the app. Can you take us briefly through your journey? Are you still employed? Do you have a income from a full time job, or how did you make the switch from this to your business?
Yes. So thank you for getting me back on topic. So yes, I still have a full time job. So up until I started coding where I am now in January. So up until then, I was just doing testing and automated testing and some product management type stuff, you know, helping to manage user stories. And I'd done product management a lot in my career. So that's something I had a lot of experience in. But in January, whenever I released my app, and that gave me the opportunity to start coding there. So I'm still doing that. That's still my full-time job. Seed to Spoon is something that I do, you know, from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. at least two or three times a week. And then after my kids go to bed, at least once or twice a week, I'll stay up. And I'm trying to be careful about all of this, because the reason why I started gardening was because I went through a bit of a breakdown because I spent too much time in front of a computer and I overworked. So I try and be very cognizant of that. And I don't push myself too hard, but I have routines. And what I do is I just use whenever I feel really passionate and energetic and I can't sleep because I'm so excited, I don't go to sleep. I use that energy and I wear myself out, and then I sleep and I recover for a couple days. And I may not sleep all day, but, you know, I kind of have this balance and I listen to my body, and it's complicated. I probably shouldn't go into all that, but that's how I try and manage it. So it's difficult now. But one opportunity that came our way in the middle of the summer that has been just mind blowing for us and life changing in a way is that the Oklahoma City Thunder, the basketball team here in Oklahoma City, has a program that they've partnered with some local organizations to help tech startups in Oklahoma flourish. So they don't give you any money or anything like that. They don't take any stake in the company. But what they do is they partner you with people that they know and resources and help and the tools that people like me need to build a business. Because I have a lot of experience building software, but I don't have a lot of experience with the business side. So this is basically just an accelerator. So if you've heard of that, this is an accelerator, but it's one that opportunity normally isn't available to people like me in a small state like Oklahoma, because it's only on the West Coast or the East Coast or in Austin or maybe Denver, you know, some of these big cities that we have. In Oklahoma City, it's very hard, at least it has been up until recently, to do something like this. So anyway, they have an accelerator program that we've now partnered with, and we've been in that for going on about a month and a half now, I think, and it's been amazing. And it's opened a world of opportunities, and that is what we're using to now build our business. So we're trying to build partnerships with companies that sell gardening products and that sell seeds so that we can start right now. And let me talk briefly about how we monetize now. So the current version of the app is free, but we have links in the app to products on Amazon. And if someone purchases that product on Amazon that we link to, we get 8% of that purchase. And then we also get a percentage of every purchase that is made while they have that tab open on Amazon. So that does not bring in a ton of money. I mean, the most we brought in from it, I think, is $400 in the spring when our usage was really kind of up. And now it's maybe $150, $200 a month. It's not a ton. But it gave us, you know, kind of the idea of what could be. And that is when we started building our actual store. So that instead of that 8% from Amazon, we can get a larger percentage. And then we can also just have a better experience for our users, because when they're going through Amazon, you never know where the product's being shipped from or, you know, or anything. And I really want to have a great experience for my users, and I want to craft the process so that whenever, and here's kind of the vision of what we're going towards, is having a vision where you can, or an app where you can choose everything that you want to grow. And you get everything that you need to grow that delivered to your door when it's needed based on where you live. So we already calculate planting dates and everything based on the Earth's weather station. Right now it's in the US only, but we're working on expanding out globally, and we're working on just hooking in the APIs and doing all that kind of thing. So we're close on it. But that's the vision, is you get everything that you need to grow that delivered to your door when you need it. And then you get the fertilizers that you need when you need them. And it becomes mindless because everything is color-coded. So when you get the seeds for the spinach, you also get a little container that has a green little label on it. And then when you get the fertilizer for the spinach, it has the same green label. So that it makes it really simple for everyone to start growing food. And, you know, especially for kids and things like that, that's really the thing that makes me really excited about this, is that it's opening up a new world for people that have been intimidated by growing food or have had bad results and it scared them away from trying. But if they can just taste that spinach out of the garden for the first time, like I did, it'll change their life in the same way it did for me, because it's more than just the way it tastes. It's the way it makes you feel. And it's the way that you feel about life. I mean, I have battled depression throughout my entire life. And right now I wake up every single day excited to see what life has to offer. And I can't tell you how different and how amazing that is. And that is why we do all of this, because ultimately I feel like if people also felt that sense of connection that I have to the earth and to their body and to everything, then I think that we're going to be a happier place and a happier society. And that's where the magic is. So that's why we do this.
Absolutely. No, we can definitely feel the energy and the passion which you're talking about when it comes to the subject and the business and everything that you're doing. It's really, really impressive. And it's really a lot of work. And I really want to touch back and expand a bit on the topic of balance. And I think it's very important, especially for people who are balancing a full-time job with building their own business or a passion project, not necessarily a business. And you mentioned that you're working in the mornings and evenings as well. What are some tools or systems, resources that you found helpful in your journey that help you balance this out and not get carried away and kind of burnt out?
Yes, great question. Great question. And I'll be honest with you, I got burned out in March and April whenever I had committed every single weekend to these events. And I'm at these home and garden shows, and I literally took our RV to the show and stayed there the whole weekend and spent, you know, from the time the show opened until the time the show closed, I spent the entire time with my app there talking to people and getting their feedback. And that was great. And I learned a lot, but I should have had more balance and I should have listened to my body more. And ultimately so it's a practical tool of how you can manage this. For me, it's a very simple equation. I look at five different areas of my life. Am I drinking enough water? Am I eating the right foods? Am I getting enough sunlight? Am I being mindful? Am I staying focused in the present moment instead of worrying about the past or the future? And am I having proper sleep routines? Am I getting up with the sun? Am I going to bed with the sun? Am I not too out of whack with my circadian rhythms and all that kind of stuff? Because that really impacts me a lot. So if I analyze those areas of my life, and also exercise is part of this too. You know, am I getting physical activity throughout the day? So I analyze those areas of my life. And if I am in balance of all of those, then I can push myself and I can listen to my body. My body tells me when to slow down and I can manage it and I can be okay. But whenever I start getting out of balance in one of those areas, so if I start I get back into a soda thing, like soda is the worst thing for me and I know how bad it is, but I grew up drinking a lot of it, and every now and then I'll have the, you know, like maybe one weekend of it that kind of spirals into a week of it. And then that gets is really, really bad for me. So, you know, that's an area that I got to really be careful of. And foods, you know, sometimes I have too many hamburgers or too many beers or, you know, whatever it is. And so it's those five areas that I've got to, I don't have to be perfect in all of them, but I've got to be pretty good in all five of them. And then that is when my body starts telling me. So then, you know, I'm able to have a sense of when, you know, sometimes I got a lot of energy and I really want to go do things. And I have all these ideas that are just flowing to me all the time. And it's a fun process. It's not like I dread working on it process. And so in those moments, I use that and I have fun with it. But another thing is I involve my family in it too. So my wife has learned how to format data into JSON and is starting to learn HTML to help with the coding. My 9 and my 7-year-old daughters designed every single graphic at the top of each vegetable in the app. I taught them how to use Adobe Spark Post. And then they go through and did every single one of them. So we have these family nights where we work on it together. But it's not all that. I mean, we do lots of other stuff too. But so my daughters are learning software development. And now my wife is going to be the CEO of the Seed to Spoon company that we somehow like we have. So because she has a really good business mind and a really good logical mind. And so, you know, so and my niece is a great editor and I've pulled her in. She's finishing up college right now for writing and she's just an amazing writer. And so I have these people, you know, around me that I've been able to build better relationships with now because we work together on this. And it's not just me off in my office building by myself like things were early in my 20s. I would kind of isolate myself and go do things by myself. And I would get very excited. It'd be my own little world. And that can really be depressing if no one else is in that world with you. But in this world, I've got my whole family in here with me and we're living through this together. And we take vacations from it together. This summer, we took off the whole summer from everything. We didn't really work on anything. And we just kind of spent time together. We took our RV and traveled all around the country and just, you know, bonded together as a family. So that's my body tells me when I need to do that. And whenever I'm living this right way and I'm eating all these right things and I'm being mindful, then I'm in tune with my body and I know. But whenever I get out of balance on those things, then I can lose track and then I can push my, and then sometimes I push myself too hard and then you crash. And when you crash, it's just, you know, it's hard because it's hard to get back up. And to get back up, you just got to go back to the focusing on those five things and just start. I'll tell you what, you guys helped inspire me. So a morning routine that I've developed over the past, I didn't develop this. I mean, I've learned this through podcasts. So the past 2 months, 2 months ago, I committed myself to every single morning before I do anything. I get up and we have a $300 inflatable hot tub that I bought from Walmart on our back tub and on our back porch. And I go out there and the water's turned up to like 102. And I get in there and I turn on the jets and I chug as much water as I can. And I listen to a podcast like yours that's with a startup founder and I hear their journey and I get it pumped up and excited. And then that's how I start my day. And that's a pivotal thing that I have to do that now because positivity is a huge thing for me. If I dwell in negative thoughts, then my day is spiraled. So podcasts like yours, you know, that's help me especially keep focused and also feel like, you know, this entrepreneurial thing is pretty lonely because like a lot of my friends, you know, and stuff, and I don't think any of them would be hearing this podcast. I hope not. but you know, like it's hard for them to relate to what we're going through and stuff. And you know, they're like, why don't you just take your 9 to 5 and come watch football? You know, like why do you got to go do all this? And, you know, and then that's the thing that's hard sometimes, but when you have these other podcasts and you hear other people that talk about their journeys, you know, people like Ryan Carson that I listened to on an episode a while back that talks about how, you know, he just couldn't, you know, like, you know, I didn't go to college, you know, like this kind of ties into history. I failed college because I'm autistic and not because I'm autistic, but because I didn't know how to manage some of the things that come with being autistic. I didn't know how to manage like not the fact that I can't learn when there's a bunch of noises around me. So now I do online learning and stuff. But back then that just wasn't a thing. And I'm not, you know, so I didn't get the opportunity to go to college. So things like Treehouse have been huge for me to learn coding and things like that. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it's a great system. You brought up a lot of points, and thanks again, you know, for listening and mentioning it, even that we kind of helped you in any way. And it's really fantastic to have, you know, the family around you that you can guys can work on it together. I think that helps quite a lot because then otherwise it is lonely, but at least you have, you know, your family, which then makes all the world a difference, you know, because you can work with them. And
absolutely.
I want to go back to a point which we kind of skipped over quickly, but it's a very crucial point for anyone starting off, and it's the kind of the transition between an idea and then starting to implement that. You said you had the idea, but you were kind of thinking of, you know, finding some other people to build it and stuff. How did you make the kind of the mindset change to actually start building yourself, and how was the beginning of that? How did you kind of find the motivation and the resources to go through that stage and actually build the product?
Okay. Yeah, me, you all have great questions. Thank you. So for me, I had the vision of the app in my head for a long time. It was I've been building mobile apps, you know, for my whole life. Like, that's what I did as a product manager. I built mobile apps. And so I kind of had the vision of how I wanted the app to look in my head. And I had started sketching stuff. But when I started actually putting pen to paper, if you will, and coding it, the way that actually started out was, actually, let me go back before that a little bit and talk about the logo and all that kind of stuff, because we had the initial idea of we wanted to have this business, right? But we didn't know, like, we need to have a logo for it, we have a name, we have all that kind of stuff. So the logo was just one of those things where we tried to figure out what we wanted it to represent. And it was just like a little spoon with some vegetables inside of it, you know, from seed to spoon. My last name is Spoonmore, so that's where From Seed to Spoon came from. It was just kind of thinking about a clever name, and that's where that came from. And so that's where the idea kind of started from. And we took that logo, and then I took that logo and I went to a website. I think it was colors.com, but there's a lot of different websites where you can upload a logo and it will generate color palettes that are related to that logo. So then I cycled through an entire day, probably, being honest with you, of looking at color palettes, because I'm a little crazy in that way. But I finally found the perfect one that I liked. And my wife, you know, helped me with this, and we had a balance of color she liked and I liked. And then we took that and we built out our entire website and kind of platform, you know, with those colors in mind. And then I used, so I'm not a great designer, but I am really good at knowing when something does not look good. So I can iterate on something until it's good. And I use, you know, frameworks that have been built by other great designers to make things look good. So for the app, I use Ionic, which is a framework that was that is built to make it where you can build mobile apps using web technologies like HTML and CSS and JavaScript. And they have a framework where I can go through a library of all these different button types, and I can choose different ones and I can try them all. So for me, it's a real iterative process where I'll first lay out a screen and I'll just have all the data on the screen first. And it's real kind of ugly and spreadsheet looking, and it's just like columns, you know, just of data. And then I start taking that and I iterate on it, and I focus on the individual data points, and I think, okay, how can I now represent this better visually? Because for me, it's hard for me to go through the thought process of how do I make something look nice and how do I make it logically work great in the same mindset. They're two very different mindsets for me. Like, one of them is a very, I don't know, it's hard to describe it, but I can't really do them in the same day. So in the day that I'm building, like, my first draft of the app, for example. So the first draft, like the first demo of the app that I built, was basically just a grid of data, of gardening data. And that was it. And then I, you know, I took a day off, and then you wait until you're in that mood that, and I guess this is an important thing to mention, is I don't try to force myself into moods. So, and what I mean by that is sometimes I'm in like a mood to go create a bunch of marketing graphics. Like this weekend, I created a bunch of Instagram graphics and Facebook promotion posts and stuff like that to go do like ads and things like that, because I was feeling like that. That's what it sounded fun to me to do. So I did it then. I harnessed the energy that I had to do the work that needs to be done while I'm in that mindset. So instead of, and you don't always have that choice because you have deadlines and stuff, but thankfully we don't have any outside pressures on this. It's just us. We still have full-time jobs. One of the reasons for that, and one of the reasons we have not gone after investment or anything like that, is because I don't want to put pressure on it right now. There's no need to. We're blessed in our life. We are happy in our life. I'm able to keep up right now with what we're doing, and things are growing at a sustainable pace. And I'm okay with that. And I'm happy with that. And what we've seen is when as this has gotten bigger, it seems like the opportunities have come to us when we're ready for it. And that's how I try and live life, is just being mindful of the current moment. So whatever I feel like doing that day, whether it's coding or whether it's working on graphic stuff or whether it's editing YouTube videos. I mean, a large effort and mindfulness for me is editing some of our YouTube videos, because our kids are very involved in our garden while we're shooting these videos. So my 1 and 2-year-old are just running around all around me. You never know what's going to happen. So as I'm editing these videos, I am rewatching these moments of happiness from my day over and over. And then that helps me keep positive, and that helps me, you know, keep happy. And then, and those are the kind of stuff that we put that kind of stuff out on our page. We share those details from our lives. We have a mix of stuff on our page. We have, you know, gardening related content. We have stuff about software creation. We have stuff about mindfulness. We have just happy stuff in the garden of children. Like, there's just a mix of stuff like that. So it's really just identifying you know, what kind of mindset I'm in that day, what I can do really well in that mindset, and then doing it. And then if I'm in a mindset where I'm just grumpy and I can't be around people, or maybe I just have a lot of anxiety or something, those days I can generally code really well. Like, I've got a lot of energy. I can go spend it on coding. I can go exhaust myself coding. I don't have to talk to people. I just talk to a computer. And I use that energy there and I wear it out. And then the next day I'm back to feeling okay again. So that's how I try and manage that chaotic nature of running a startup, of having to do all these different things, is just embracing what mindset I'm in the moment, and then just rolling with it, and then doing the best I can with whatever I'm doing in that moment. And then that's generally led to, you know, doing that every day. And then you can take days off. I take plenty of days off, but doing it on the days that I want to do it, for the past, I guess, two. Well, I started building it in July. It was when we started building mobile app. That's what it takes. It's that iterative development. It's not doing it something in one day. It's, you know, improving on something and making it better over and over.
Yeah. And you've written a lot about this as well, and also how your like origin journey as well. I'd love to move the conversation on the topic of content, and something that you mentioned, how you started actually the whole thing before even it was a business. Can you elaborate about your thinking? How do you think about the content and the concentration, and how important it is for spreading the word out and getting more people involved into the cause and into the business?
So the content is that's a tough beast, because in the beginning, it's really easy. Like when I first started shooting videos, it was really easy. I just go out there in the garden. I felt awkward, you know, having this camera in front of me on a tripod, or, you know, but you get over it. And I was just creating videos. But then, you know, you start getting to where there's a ton of comments that come on videos that, you know, you have to go manage. And it becomes this kind of anxiety of, you know, that if you create a video and put it out there, then it's going to come with this wave of stuff you have to do. And it pretty quickly turns into a 24-hour cycle of having to manage this brand. And that will drive you insane. So what we've learned is to not necessarily do it the way we were doing, where we were always, you know, looking at it and trying to respond to comments and stuff like that. And now we still put out content, but we'll go and manage comments and do stuff like that on a scheduled basis. So like my wife and I will go in, like whenever we have an hour, we'll just both go through and just answer a bunch right then. And not feel like we have to always be on the hook for it. And then also we don't really like the negative comments. We just delete. We don't even read or respond to. Like, it's just because it can really, I don't know, it can really impact you, you know, when you think about it. So with our content, we like to have a mix of stuff, like I mentioned earlier, because our audience is mostly looking for stuff about gardening, but they're also looking for the why. I mean, I think I've found through gardening, most people, or a lot of people that are really into gardening, have found it for the same reasons I have, because it helps them deal with some stress. So whenever you can connect with people on that, and I think it is important with your audience to have a personal connection with them and to be authentic. I've you know, one of the things that comes with my flavor of being autistic is I've never really had a hard time just speaking my mind, and just I have a hard time not doing that. So for me, it was when we started doing this, I didn't have a choice. If we're going to be doing this, then I have to just be speaking as I am, because I don't know how to be any other way. So for a long time, I spent a lot of my life kind of hiding in the shadows, if you will, or like, you know, being an introvert, not really talking much. And so it was a big change for me, because I had to just learn to accept who I am and try to like who I am and get over some of those insecurities that I have. And that's a constant battle, but it's something that it's forced me to grow out of. So I feel like I'm getting off track a little bit, but let me bring it back to our content and things that we create, because we also have to create a lot of things that try and lead people back into our brand. Because for a year, all we did was just gardening videos and stuff, and we didn't even have a mobile app. And I still feel like probably half of our audience on Facebook right now doesn't even know that we have a mobile app. So we tried to do, you know, a lot of content that was showing the app and talking about it, but that really wasn't what people wanted either, because they don't care about the details of this app. You know, like, they don't even need an app, a lot of people in our audience, because they already garden. And I think too, like, the videos that we make aren't necessarily trying to recruit new people into the app. It's just trying to build a relationship with the people that already use our app or that already garden, so that whenever their friends come to them and say, hey, I'd like to grow food, they say, oh, download this app. You know, like, that's that's the relationship that I'm building with them. So I'm not marketing to them all the time. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not talking about the app all the time. I'm just talking about stuff that we can relate on. I'm just talking about my garden, and I'm talking about, you know, anxiety and depression and things like that with that type of audience. So I've got a mix of different audiences that I talk about different things with, and it can get chaotic, and there's a lot of tools that make it easier. I've been using tools like Tailwind and Buffer to do automation. So now that we have a pretty large backlog of blog posts written, we have a blog post written now for every vegetable that's in the app, I believe, most all of them. That's what my wife does. It's like her other full-time job. She also teaches nursing online. So this is a second job for her too. And so she goes through and writes all these blog posts, and now we have it set up to where they're automatically going out. So on Buffer, it's going to pull one of these blog posts and then share it out to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And it's going to go out to Pinterest, to a board. It's going to go to our Google Plus account. I don't know if it's doing any good there, but it's going there. You know, and it's doing all this kind of stuff. And we have analytics in our app, so we can see which vegetables are being viewed the most. So we use that to drive, you know, we'll go and schedule out like a month or a week or two, you know, in advance. And then, and that's key too, is automating it. So you're not always having to like be posting stuff all the time. I hated that. It was the constant pressure of feeling like I had to go shoot videos in the garden, and the garden is my sanctuary. I need to come out here and just be by myself a lot. And I started to feel like every time I came out here, I had to shoot videos about it. So by automating the content to pull, you know, stuff that we had already done and have that circulating, it took that pressure off of feeling like I had to put out content. And then I was able to go back into the mindset of when I felt inspired to create content, I created it. Because I was forcing content there at the end of it, and you could see it. My audience could tell that I wasn't passionate about what I was talking about. I was just out there trying to shoot a video about how to grow carrots, because I had to shoot a video about how to grow carrots. And I had to get back to, you know, being passionate about this and excited about it. And yeah, hopefully that answers that question.
Oh, yeah, it's a very, very solid strategy. And also resonates a lot with what we are doing and other small businesses and small-time founders as well. Because it's a very sane approach, especially when you're bootstrapping. I'm curious, like with all those that you shared, what are the future plans for the close future, let's say, 6 months to a year from seed to spoon?
Okay, so the version of the app that we have right now gives you all the information about how to grow food. And there's a lot of information in there. There's 80 vegetables, there's 40 pests, there's all this stuff. And a beginner especially comes into that and they're overwhelmed by the amount of data, right? Because it's kind of a dictionary of stuff. So we are working on a My Garden tracking system that lets you log when you plant something. And then it uses that planting date to guide you through the process. So it'll tell you when to water, it'll tell you when to harvest, it'll almost like a pregnancy tracker for your plants. It'll show you like how large it is, you know, at each stage, and it'll have a calendar with push notifications, and it'll just tell you everything you need to do. Basically, you can just tell us what you want to grow, and then we'll tell you what you need to do. So that is a pro level version that we're working on. That's going to be a monthly subscription, something small, like $1 or $2 per month. And that is something that we are almost done coding the code part of it. We have it working. Now we have to code the charging people part of it, and I don't know how long that's going to take. Yeah, that's a whole other. I haven't done that yet. So that's the first wave of how we're trying to make a business out of this. The second wave is the store that I've mentioned. So we've set up a store, and we're going to be selling. We've already reached agreements with a couple of the products that we've sold the most of through our app, through on Amazon, to sell directly with drop shipping. So we will sell the product through the app. And then we will send the order over to them, and then they ship it out and do all that. And then we handle the customer relationship and everything. So if there's a return, it just goes back to them again. So that is the agreement that we've come to with two companies, and we're working on trying to find a seed company to do a similar agreement with. And that's part of this, you know, this partnership that we've made with the Oklahoma City Thunder and this organization called Stitch Crew here in Oklahoma City that helps them run this thing. Is so powerful for us because they're helping to get us into conversations that would be very difficult for us to get into. And the reason why I want to mention that is because there's these accelerators all across everywhere. And now that I'm in one, I get a ton of ads on Twitter for, like, you know, for other accelerators. And you need to really reach out to these because there are good people out there that have been successful and that have had their success. and they are looking for people that are trying to make the world better. I promise they're out there because I've met them. And this is these are the organizations they go to help find you. So, So I think and I think when you're starting out, like I think a lot of people like us, you know, that are doing this, we feel like we have to do it all ourselves sometimes. And you got to start letting go of that. You got to start giving responsibilities to other people. You got to start when people come to you and say they want to help, you got to say yes, and you got to let them. And you got to take their feedback and you got to read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People and live life according to those principles. You know, it's and listen to the podcast like yours with people like, you know, like just you got to live in these like all the stuff that Tim Ferriss and all these people talk about and Kevin Rose. It's all real and it all matters. So you got to pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Great stuff. Where can people find out more about From Seed to Spoon and any other resources, links, handles? Now is the time to mention that.
So you can go to our website at www.seedtospoon.net. And you can also find us in the Android or iOS App Store by searching for Seed to Spoon. Or you can search for Growing Food, and you should be able to find it that way as well. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And any Pinterest and any other social network that pops up will be on there too. I wish we could converge into one. It'd be a lot less work for me. But yeah, so and then we're on YouTube also. I do a lot of stuff on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well, we'll make sure to link all of that in the show notes as well for people to have a very easy way to navigate and check those out. Really, really interesting. Love gardening myself. So, and fresh fruit and vegetables from the garden. Us being from Bulgaria is something that still in the culture there, there's a lot of people who have their own gardens and spaces and the great connection with nature and all along that. So it's great to hear your story. Thank you so much, Dale, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really love your podcast. I'm looking forward to hearing more episodes.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it and found it valuable, we would really appreciate your support by liking, rating, subscribing to the Early Days podcast. This program is produced and hosted by Dulo, that's me and Julian. And as we mentioned in the very beginning, we make non-iron dress sheets from performance fabrics. If you want to learn more, head over to weardulo.com, that's weardulo.com, and take a look at our products, our story, and the journey of how we're building the business. Until next time, bye-bye.